Oh, is everybody back?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, good. So I'll ask first if there are any announcements. Okay, well, I did send out in my email today a reminder that GSA abstracts, the site is open for people to submit abstracts. We have two climate literacy sessions there that we would really like people who might go to the GSA meeting. It's going to be in Denver in October, I think October 27th to 30th. We have one session that's focused on a combination of formal education, informal education, and outreach, and a second session that's focused on evaluation and research. So if you're so inclined, please submit abstract. And we're having our Earth Labs workshops. We're going to be in Texas next week for a week working with teachers around using the Earth Labs climate modules. And for those that are not familiar with Earth Labs, it's a series of modules. Each module is 5 to 12 labs and is intended to be the laboratory component of a high school capstone course in Earth and Space Science. And each module is focused on our climate ones are, there's a research component to the education research component to the project around student learning about change over time. And the modules we have, one is on the cryosphere, one is on weather, climate, and the biosphere, and one is on carbon, climate and carbon. And so we're going to be working with a group of teachers to teach them how to use the modules. And they're actually, the presentations are going to be done by teachers we've been working with for about 3 or 4 months. They're going to present to this larger group of teachers, and then over the course of the next academic year, they'll be implementing them in the classroom for the research component of our project. So we'll be in Texas next week and Mississippi the following week.
Tamara, when do you expect the content to be finalized?
Well, it's live. The content's live, so anybody can get to it. It keeps evolving, but it's evolving in smaller chunks now. So up until our workshops last year, we weren't letting anybody look at it because it was changing a lot. There's still the possibility of change, but they are to the point now where they're not changing dramatically. So they're all live on the live site.
I'm asking specific relative to clean and review, because these are a fine example of a new product that's coming online that was not available, I would believe.
Right. Yes, so we did actually pilot some of the earlier ones, and actually it is a good point. We did pilot putting one of these through the review process with respect to units and modules. But that was more of a pilot of the review process and not of piloting the review of the modules. Basically, the issue was that we were reviewing them at the high level of a module, and it became clear that in that process we had to review each activity within it as an individual activity. The one thing, there are a few pieces of the review criteria for a module, a review criteria for an activity that individual activities within this module would not fit. And those in particular are, does the activity specifically address a climate literacy? The problem was that some activities were bridges between one and another. The other piece was, is it self-contained? When we reviewed activities as individuals, they had to contain everything you needed in order to do the activity. And in a module, that might not always be true. But what we were planning to do is, and we will do these with the Earth Labs modules, is that we will review each individual lab, and we will identify those pieces that are not relevant. So let's say, for example, there are 5 labs in a module. And let's say number 2 is dependent on the material in lab 1. Well, we'll put lab 2 through the review process, and we will note that it's not self-contained, and thus it will not individually become part of the clean collection. But then when we review it as a module, it would be accessible through that mechanism in the clean collection. But let's say activity one is independent. Activity one could potentially be in the collection both as an individual activity and as part of a module. But we did, we have been delaying going through the review process for all of the Earth Labs modules, but it is in the plan until they were completely done. And I think probably by the end of this summer, when we have all of these other teachers testing out these new versions, which were frozen in April, meaning that in time so that the teachers who are preparing to present the summer workshop would be able to work with a concrete, non-changing document. And then there will probably be one more version that will be frozen before we ask them to implement in the classroom. And at that point, we will probably complete the review of them. But a lot of pieces, and there are individual Earth Labs labs that are in the clean collection, but no modules.
Only three.
Well, that's
only
because
three.
A lot of them aren't self-contained.
Is that what the issue is?
It's either that or the topic that they address.
So the one that I've always wondered about was in the drought. I mean, one of the things in the clean question is we don't have very much drought content, and yet the drought Earth Lab was funded by NOAA, if I remember right.
Right.
And
so that one's not changing. We could potentially put those. We have one on fisheries also.
Yeah, but I'm thinking specifically about Lab 4, 5, and 6, and whether 7 and 8. I mean, these are only Lab 3 of drought. Sorry, we're having a real technical call, and I'll be quiet here in a second. But it's one of those times where we kind of tapped into a part of something, but we never kind of went around all the and get the other pieces. And it'd be interesting to look at our database just to see kind of did the other ones not make it, or did they not go in, or what happened? Just be interesting.
Yeah, no, we can certainly look that up and follow up, and
Frank, I mean, as one of the reviewers, this is Scott. My recollection is that we actually systematically went through everything to make sure that we had at least put them into the vetting process. And Tamara's absolutely right. A lot of the problems we had was more scope, whether it's appropriate to have them in the clean collection. So,
gotcha.
I think everything's been looked at. But we should check, of course.
Okay, so I can talk to Anna about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, any other announcements or comments?
Well, this is Martha. I was wondering, so are we going to continue working on a campaign for CLEAN?
Yes, we are. I was not able to get to it this week, but we will. We definitely will. I had intended to have. We were talking about putting together the message, and I'm sorry, I've just not gotten to it. If you would like to take the notes from last week and move that forward and send some drafts of a message out to the entire listserv. And ask who else might be interested in the conversation, then we can identify the smaller group. I don't think we should have the group on the discussion on the full listserv just because it gets to be complicated. But would you like to move that forward?
Yeah, that sounds
okay.
Good. I thought we were pretty close to the message. So we had a couple to choose from only, so that's good.
Yeah, no, I think we're pretty close. I just wanted to come to some consensus. So if you can put those suggestions together and send it to an email to the entire listserv and ask the question of who would like to be part of the conversation. And you can certainly add me to that list right now. And then we can quickly try to turn around finalizing that and then getting the rest of the pieces going.
All right, sounds good.
So, Frank, do you want to say anything now that the climate.gov portal has been live with the clean collection for a couple of weeks. You want to say anything about that?
Nah, I don't really want to talk about it.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you, Tamara. So we are actually actively working on it as we speak, trying to weave in other elements of all of our work over the years. But the NOAA is very proud to partner with Clean to syndicate the climate literacy component of the Clean teaching pages, and then also the full collection of the collection itself. And everything seems to be working very well, and it's a very strong partnership. We had our annual review last week. It's in federal government, and we review everything many, many times. And it was very well accepted and, appreciated and valued. And so we look forward to continuing that work. And for those of you who don't understand, one of the main things that happened here is that this was a, NSF-funded clean to start with. And one of the things we all know is that too many times a great project will stand up, start under an NSF or other agency grant, and then not get the next pile of money to keep going, especially because you've figured out what to do and do it well, and you've gotten all the efficiencies, and yet you have a very low chance of actually continuing that project. Even the best of them get about a 30% success rate on their grants. So this is an opportunity to really highlight an excellent project and keep it going in a more operational and experimental state. And NSF is proud of this accomplishment. We're proud of this accomplishment, and I think that it'll help everything we're trying to do is to have a longer-term commitment to this type of activity. So that's probably a lot more than you wanted to hear, but that's kind of where things are right now. And so the last piece of that is, Tamara, is we're going to run the web statistics for May, and we'll see if we have a bump.
Yep.
And then we'll continue to run analytics on a monthly basis just to see if, and then we'll do it in partnership with the Clean Project, just to see if we're starting to see the added value from the market, increase between our activities. But, mm-hmm. this is an active project, and it's an experiment.
Yep. The other thing we have to be aware of is since it's the end of the academic year, we might not see the full impact until we get into the fall.
That's exactly right. But one of the things that I'm very excited about is one of the members of the Clean team, is it Val, who has been where she's been doing strategic engagements with education leadership to really see if those leaders could really come to understand, become aware of, and value what Clean has done, and then look in their analytics to see if actually, say, Florida, that was the example I heard of, actually saw a bump in the viewership or visiting ship, and it looks like it's actually starting to show up. So very strategic. I mean, the thing that makes me very happy about all of this is that we did excellent work, and we're also very strategic about how we're moving forward. And that's just an excellent way to be moving forward on this issue. So I'm excited to see how that really starts rolling into the fall when we see the next generation science standards in the next fall and so on.
Well, one of the things we might do, Frank, is we might have you or somebody who really knows the climate.gov portal give a presentation on this call in the fall and invite a wider range of people than just from this network. Invite the tri-agency groups and the NASA groups and the NOAA projects. And I can even
send an email to the
Council of State Science Supervisors and so that they become more aware of the resources there also.
The other group is all the people who are going to be implementing at the states. Once we get through the summer, we'll know a better sense of which states are going to implement next generation science standards,
right,
or at least adopt. This is a really opportune time to start that conversation with them. and mm-hmm. deeper into the program staff as opposed to the Council of State Science Supervisors, which are the leadership.
Would that be a good thing to do, as having the visiting expert be Frank and a Google Hangout for our first visiting person in our social media campaign?
Say that again.
Remember, in the social media campaign, one of the thoughts was to have periodically a visiting expert in a Google Hangout to engage
We could potentially try that.
Yeah, maybe it'd be an experiment.
Yeah.
Let's think about doing that and really maybe thinking about it for the fall. Again, I really want to wait till the academic year gets and we do have a better idea of the states the states will know more who's going to be implementing sooner.
There's one possible reason to think about how we do it is a problem. But a lot of teachers are going to be doing a retooling of their units over the summer. Now, how you gain access to them to make them aware of what we've got to include in their new units or new interpretations of how they do existing units is a hard one. But I think that there's a development phase that a lot of teachers go through in the June through August time that is a pretty good time to get in there. But how you do that and where they are is a good question.
Can you guys hear me?
Well, I actually... Sorry, say that again.
I just wondered if you could hear me. This is Val. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Val.
Yep. Okay. So what I've been doing is trying to find the right person in each state for the Department of Education. He might be the science curriculum advisor. There isn't one in every state, but... and also through State Science Teacher Association, getting the word out about CLEAN in listservs, primarily listservs to teachers, and sometimes web posting where our resources for teachers. And sometimes they are newsletters that get sent out and then posted on the web. Some of these are coming out, in June or July, and some have been coming out. It's been posted on the NSTA freebies website and went out in the May report that goes out to 55,000 people. So in the paper one, the hard copy. So in the meantime, the other thing that's happening is through this process, I'm figuring out who are the movers and shakers in each state, who are the people who actually send out things and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to put together a report and get things updated, but we will have a list of good contacts for each state as well. So, and some of these people are trying to include the CLEAN materials into curriculum development. For instance, in Colorado, Boulder, we're going to be presenting on an in-service Teachers Day, and a few other states have asked for that kind of thing. So, we are working on it, trying to get it out to teachers, and hopefully we'll see it getting more usage in the fall.
Val, one question somewhere in the line, somewhere we should probably talk about is the relationship of the syndicated CLEAN collection through climate.gov relative to CLEAN itself, and how are you talking to them about that now that that's actually come to pass, or are you principally focusing on the CLEAN.org side of it?
Up until now, I've been focusing on the cleannet.org, but listening to you earlier in the call, I was thinking, this would be a great thing to, it could be a new thing to present to them, and I think it gives a lot of weight or it adds credence to the CLEAN collection, the fact that NOAA is endorsing it. And so I guess
maybe we could email and talk offline about how to do that, how to present it and that kind of thing.
Sure. I imagine, Tamara, you'd like to be involved in that conversation. Or
sure.
Susan, us.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, we can take that offline. That's great. Thank you.
Thanks.
It is somewhat of a problem. It's one thing to advertise the availability of these resources. It's another thing to support during the course of this summer the teachers' revisions of their materials to address some of these things. So just because they're all very individual. But I know we'll be thinking about that as we work with the teachers over the next couple of weeks in Texas and Mississippi. So I think it's going to have to be through individuals' current ongoing efforts and interactions with teachers to help them do that.
Yep.
Hey, are there any other comments or?
This is Martha. So how do you go about identifying the movers and shakers and leaders in each state? Is there a methodical way of doing this?
Well, there's the Council of State Science Supervisors is one area in which I'm actually a member now, an affiliate member. And so you can send with one email the lead science educator from each state. But as Val mentioned, not every state has one. So it's a good way, but not a comprehensive way. And then another avenue, which Val mentioned, I hadn't really thought about before, is a lot of the states have teachers associations. Science Teachers Associations. So that's another way. And then NSTA and NESTA are good avenues of getting at lots of teachers.
And there's NSTA has this, they facilitated a listserv in each state or most states, which is called Science Matters. And that's been really, I think that's been pretty effective as well. In some states, the Science Teacher Association is not really functional, but the Science Matters listserv is. But it's a back-and-forth email process, you know, can you tell me how I can share this, and people may or may not get back to me. And it takes a bit of time, but I think we're developing a database of good names. I have a question. This is Val again about the DSA sessions.
Yeah.
I would be interested in maybe presenting about this. Hello?
Yes, we're listening.
About this outreach effort, about this outreach effort at the DSA, but I'm not sure if it would fit into either of those sessions. Do you think it would?
Certainly. It would fit into the one actually that I'm convening with. Well, you can even, so the one on informal, formal, and education and outreach is Susan Burr, myself, and Jeff Ryan are the conveners for. They're called advocates at GSA. And so it's intended to be broad. GSA, and this is different from AGU. AGU, we have a lot more sessions. And because it's larger and more people attend, so the contrast, I mean, there's still a lot of people at GSA. There's been 8,000 people attend GSA and 23,000 people that attend AGU. So I think that the outreach effort would definitely fit into that session.
Oh, great. Okay. Thanks.
And just so everybody knows, the CLEAN project through sponsorship by the NADT is going to be doing a workshop at GSA on climate literacy. So we will be having some, I think it's a half a day, 4 hours or something like that. This, you don't submit an abstract to. This, people who are participating in the meeting can attend. So you can sign up to attend this workshop. I think that was also in the email I sent out today. Okay, and I also think that in just in terms of thinking about future presentations on our telecons, we will be taking somewhat of a break that we do every summer. But in the fall, I think we should pick up the conversation again about the next generation science standards and follow up from the discussions that we had a few weeks ago. Are there any other ideas for presentations that we might think about having in the fall?
One that I would love to see is, I've mentioned it a couple times in the network, to start having some of the educational researchers and social science researchers brief the network, specifically Gail Sinatra and Doug Lombardi's work on plausibility. I find incredibly interesting. Each of the CSEP Phase 2 grants have learning scientists associated with them, and the six of them would be, you know, very rich because they're funded right now to do this work. I know that the one from Made Clear is doing a lot of learning research on progressions related to NGSF.
I've actually talked to them already. They will be giving one in the fall, so we don't have it scheduled, but that's a good idea.
You know, because I was at the CUSP meeting, the Climate and Urban Systems Project, and their learning team did some really interesting work about city-level learning related to climate change education. So that was a very interesting presentation. So, I mean, just having them do that again would probably be very rich for the network.
So what was the name you call these groups? The CSEP2s. What is the teams? The social.
Well, you have social and educational.
A learning group, right? Learning scientists.
Well,
okay.
The learning scientists. Actually, I asked them, what do you want to be called? And they like learning scientists. There's like physical scientists, natural scientists, and learning scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're different than social scientists in their calculations.
Okay, yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a great term. I like that, too.
What was that last thing?
I said I like that term, learning scientist.
Yeah, me too.
Just a little announcement. This is Val. In case you're interested... in listening in half an hour, there's a online you can listen to it on the web. It's a full committee hearing, science committee hearing on STEM education with John Holdren, who's the director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, Dr. Farini Mundi from NSF, and Mr. Morgan from NASA, testifying as witnesses on the consolidation and reorganization proposed in the president's budget. If you would like, I can tell you the phone number, or I could email it.
Is it a phone number or a web link?
Oh, sorry, it's a web link. But I don't know that I'm on the list, so maybe I could send it to you, Tamara, and you could send it out?
Sure. That'd be great. I can send it out right away.
Okay.
So that's supposed to happen at 2?
Yes, 2 in half an hour. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So one thing I can say about the STEM consolidation is there's a lot more language in the plans and conversations about how to make sure that the science of the science mission agencies is included in the funding, assuming these programs move forward. Exactly how that's coordinated and when and where, but these are new members to our community. They historically have not worked on this topic per se. So it'll be interesting to see how it all progresses. I mean, we'll get some insights today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if there are no other comments or points of discussion, we will close our telecon for today, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thanks a lot.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Seth.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.